safety session. This is session two. My name is Drew Potts. I'm the branch chief for the dust branch of Pittsburgh Mining Research Division, NIOSH. And our first presentation is entitled, How Can the CPDM Affect Miners' Knowledge and Control of Respirable Dust Exposures? The presenter is Emily Haas. Emily has a PhD in health communications from Purdue University, an MBA from the University of Dayton. She's worked with Pittsburgh Mining Research Division for 4 years now in the human factors branch. So, Emily.
Okay, so as Drew said, my name is Emily, and I am a behavioral research scientist in the human factors branch with NIOSH, and I will be talking about some of the work that we've done with the CPDM and getting the worker perspective and feedback on how the mine sites have been using the PDM feedback to reduce exposure to dust and what they've learned from the technology since they've been using it. So you're probably all fairly familiar with the regulation and the rule that is now in place, so I won't go into too much detail on that, but a couple things to note. The mine sites now do have to sample for 15 consecutive shifts once a quarter for the DOs and ODOs, which has been a major time requirement, as you probably all have experience with. And of course, then beginning about last summer, the concentration limits for those DOs were lowered to 1.5 milligrams per cubic meter. And if there are citations that occur, there are corrective actions that have to be taken at mine sites, and they have to keep a record of what the corrective actions are, and of course, do all of these mitigations to comply with the regulation. So we wanted to study this regulation and how it has been received at the mine sites and what they've done to help compliance, but most importantly, reduce workers' exposure to dust. So we wanted to get this research done quite a bit sooner, but OMB would not let us actually go out to sites until the regulation passed because it would have been way too much burden on the mines and the mine workers. So one of the current issues is that with the rule and being in compliance, it's been pretty difficult to avoid kind of the controlled practices on sites, and that has been something that's been in the back of workers' heads, management's heads. You know, when people are wearing the CPDM, are we in compliance or are we not? And whenever I go to these sites and we kind of set up, we talk to management, of course they talk about the different layers of resources that are needed to comply. So the time to get the CPDMs warmed up, set up, ready to use, completing enough samples to get that 15 in a row most of the time, when sites are getting used to it, having to start over if there's a voided sample, reporting them on time through MSHA's website, of course, being in compliance, and executing those corrective actions if needed. So, kind of that manager observation, too, is that they say, our guys are so nervous about compliance, they're kind of babysitting the pumps a little bit. So they get nervous, they're looking at their belt all the time instead of maybe concentrating on their job until they get used to that. And if our worker feedback also corroborated that, with this worker saying, I'm constantly swinging my belt to look at the thing and make sure that I'm okay. And a lot of times workers said they wish there was some kind of alert or alarm that would tell them if they were close to being out of compliance, so they weren't always looking at it. So as first when I was going to all of these sites, especially when the regulation was first introduced and sites were using the PDM, there was kind of this initial hesitation at first, this learning curve that these sites had to get over. So this was always kind of the first day going over and hearing some of this feedback. So really, we kind of learned right away that mines really needed to have more of an autonomous communication about the CPDM. Instead of looking at it as a regulatory tool, how can we look at it as a health and safety tool? So, again, there's been an increase in black lung, and the CPDM technology has improved as well, but how much have we involved workers and how the technology is working for them and how they've used it. So the objective of our study was to understand workers' knowledge, skills, abilities, what corrective actions they've taken upon themselves to reduce their exposure, and how they communicate with each other about their exposure sources. So if they learn something, are they sharing that with their coworkers? So we had a lot of discussions with workers, management, and dust technicians about their use and behavioral response to the CPDM data. We really framed these interventions and discussions with them within a risk management framework. So going through identifying the dust risk with them, you know, what is the risk? Is it high or low? What kind of strategies can you do to mitigate that? Can you implement a control to reduce your exposure? Is it something that the mine site has to do, or is it an environmental control that we need to look a little bit more into? And then a lot of times workers trying to make those changes and monitoring even the next day if they're in a sampling period, if what they did minimized their exposure. So we asked them a variety of questions while we were at these sites for a few days in a row. In total, we did 9 visits. We collected data from over 50 mine workers of the DOs and ODOs. The workers filled out technology adoption surveys. This was a 12 questionnaire survey where they answered questions about what motivated them to use the CPDM and to protect their own health on the job. We asked about some of those internal factors, external factors, you know, like does your supervisor influence if you use the data to reduce your exposure or not? We did pre and post focus groups and interviews with workers, and then of course looked at their dust data cards with them and really tried to kind of play back in their head, you know, here's where a spike was. Do you have any idea what you were doing during that time? And if you talk with them really quickly after their shift, they tend to really remember kind of even where they were cutting or what exactly they may have been doing. So we did 3 interventions with 35 workers where we went to each site 2 or sometimes 3 times between January 2016 and March 2017. And after that, we did some additional one-time visits because we wanted to expand our sample to get the perspective of low-C miners, as well as had the opportunity to go to a couple longwall mines as well. So the first thing is that, you know, when we go to these sites, we ask miners, are you concerned about your exposure to respirable mine dust? And most of them are. They're very well aware of black lung and the consequences of being overexposed. Pretty much every worker had known someone who had black lung or currently has black lung. A lot said they were more concerned with silicosis, especially the roof bolters. But, you know, they also said towards the end, there's really not a whole lot in our control. You know, none of these workers had something bad to say about the organization and the support that they offered for dust control. They said, you know, we have a good ventilation plan in place. You know, everyone does what they have to do, but there's really not anything that we can do ourselves. So again, bringing that technology into play and really saying, is there anything that we could learn from this that you don't already know? So here are just a couple quotes from workers during the interviews. One said, I just assume I'm exposed or overexposed, and that's what you sign up for. You know when you sign up. And another worker, I've been here 21 years, so I'm sunk anyway. I probably have black lung. So from my perspective, going out and talking to these workers, it was very, you know, motivating for me to try to identify any solutions that we could to help mitigate their exposure. So I took all of the interview notes, focus group notes, and analyzed them and really came up with 3 general themes of things that the workers and organizations were learning and how the CPDM could improve their processes on the job. So the first thing is competence, that the CPDM can help workers effectively deal and adapt to their environment, and they did learn things. And then relatedness, miners can actually use the CPDM to improve their communication and relationships with their coworkers on the job by communicating what their exposures are, especially when you're at a shift change. And if workers are saying, here's where I was exposed to higher dust content, here's where you need to watch when you go underground. And then autonomy, that the CPDM really can offer workers some control over their own exposure. So I'll go through some of the results with these areas. So first of all, with competence, again, the CPDM can help improve minors' knowledge of dust sources and learning corrective actions to reduce their exposure. So here are some examples of things that workers would say that they've learned, or maybe they didn't realize that their exposure was as high as it was during some of these scenarios. So these things may seem like common sense to all of us. Hard rock, like sandstone, is dustier that they didn't know about. You know, making or getting into a new cut of rock, turning a brake. For roof bolters, they tended to say they try to stay upwind more because they didn't realize how many spikes they got downwind. And then clogged steels when bolting, when excess dust was coming out of the hole, that's when they were getting a lot of exposure. So they said things like being a little bit more patient, drilling slower. So these were all things that, again, they kind of knew they were getting exposure, but not quite so much. And it would add up over an 8-hour day. And even if they weren't out of compliance, the exposure would be a lot higher than it could be. So. And then another thing that came up quite a bit is that it was the jobs that were out of the ordinary that were really causing any kind of sample that was out of compliance. And the main thing that was learned from here is that housekeeping is critical to make sure that your samples are in compliance and not your workers are not overexposed. So this was an example, changing a torque shaft. That's when they had this one site had a sample out of compliance, and they, you know, continue to say all these jobs that we don't do daily is what's giving us our exposure. So a lot of these sites tended to, before doing a job that they weren't used to, really thinking through in their head, am I going to get a higher exposure here? How, what can I do to mitigate it before starting the task? So for CM operators specifically, they've really talked about changing how they stand. Here's one quote from a worker. I have noticed that when I'm more turned to the miner with the air at my back, I have higher concentrations, but if I turn my shoulder more and have the air, my exposure is less, so I've changed how I stand. That's something common that I know we've heard throughout our organization. Our health communication team has actually made a flyer to kind of indicate that. So if you want a copy of that to hang up in your mine office, you can contact us and we can send that your way to help disseminate some of that information. Little things like not walking or standing in rock dust clouds anymore. Again, you know, these workers tended to say, I knew that I was exposed when I would walk through this, but not nearly as much. So when they could look through and see the big spikes in their readout, they said, wow, I didn't really realize what an impact that made. So again, being a little bit more patient on the job. So a lot of workers did say that the CPDM helps create new habits or change their habits. For roof bolters, they also talked about a lot of things that they learned. And one of the interesting things, and this was at, I think, 4 of the 6 mines that I went to, all the roof bolters said that they changed where they were eating lunch to avoid being by their bolter. They used to just take their lunch, eat it on top of their bolter on the job, and that's actually when they got their biggest exposure. So a couple of people said, well, I still eat there, but now I clean it off before I eat my lunch. But most of them have actually walked to a whole new area, and that's really minimized their exposure. So something little that you would never even know if you didn't look at your readout after wearing the CPDM. And then spacing out the miner out from the bolter if bolting downwind, like I said before, so there's a little bit less exposure. And we talked to a lot of dust technicians too, and you know, they really had a lot to say about the roof bolters and said, you know, we kind of have left the bolters behind. You know, the operators, we've really hammered into them their exposure to respirable dust and the impact it has, but we haven't had those same conversations with our roof bolters. So the CPDM has really allowed us to target that group a little bit more, and they're much more aware than they used to be. And that was something that we talked about quite a bit. So moving on to relatedness, since I have a health communication background, I really wanted to learn how the CPDM was kind of serving as a tool to inform and improve communication on these sites. And it was interesting because on the first visit, I would ask them, you know, do you guys talk about your exposure to dust? You know, what do you say? Do you think it's risky? And a lot of times people said, well, we kind of just assume that people know about their health. But then after they kind of thought a little bit, they said, you know what, we talk about safety all the time. You know, we always say, you know, watch for that tripping hazard right there, and, you know, make sure you check this, lockout and tag out. But we really don't talk about our health. We don't talk about our exposures, and maybe we should. So it really just kind of took asking that question, you know, do you guys talk about your health? What are some things that you talk about that really got them thinking that the health is kind of left out of some of those conversations with their coworkers? So then on the follow-up visits, you know, when we asked more, how are you guys communicating and using those dust data cards as we proceeded to look through the samples throughout that intervention period? You know, here are some quotes from the workers. We all look at each other's cards or talk about our readings. Everyone in the mine is more aware of each other's behaviors and how it can affect each other underground. So things like, you know, if a shuttle car is driving through, they may alert the operator of something that they have to watch out for. And this was a roof bolter who said, we definitely communicate more. We all talk to each other before and after shifts. And when we're changing out, we'll say what we were in the time before, and we try to help each other. And this was a really big shift, like I said, from the first visits where people were kind of oblivious to that they could actually talk about their dust exposure and perhaps make a difference. And then the last thing is autonomy. So if you haven't kind of picked up on it, the CPDM and the dust data output can definitely put miners in more control of monitoring and reducing their exposures. So I had talked about the technology adoption survey that I handed out. And again, this 12 questionnaire had questions about what motivates workers to really take control of their own health. And it also talked about, you know, some of those extrinsic influencers like your supervisor that may, you know, encourage you to use your CPDM. And on a 6-point scale here, where you would want 6 to be the highest, you can see that the autonomy at the higher number really influences workers more than that regulated or extrinsic control. So, you know, what does that show us? It tells us that miners are motivated to protect their health. They, you know, want to learn things that they can do to protect their health, and things like a new regulation that may be put into place or a new technology that's introduced may not, you know, necessarily be the thing that motivates them, but how can we use that to support them in healthier work practices? So some things that miners kind of said and reported based on using the CPDM and talking about that dust data. This worker said, I keep looking to see where I might be able to learn. We keep learning things. We do look at the cards and we do ask questions. And when I would go over the dust data cards with the workers, they would ask a lot of questions, you know, once they were given that opportunity to really think about it and where they might have been. And, you know, seeing the dialogue that they had with each other during this time was really interesting for me. So this next quote also just shows that the workers like looking at their readouts, and that if they do get a spike at one time, they kind of like to go back and try something different the next day, even if it's standing in a different spot. Even though your environment changes daily underground, it's still helpful to kind of see and experiment a little bit. And there were a lot of operators who, you know, gave testimonials that they feel much better than they did before. So, you know, the mines themselves did a lot to try to help increase worker autonomy too. A lot of sites weren't using the dust data cards to kind of promote these discussions. They have to post them. And before, when we were there, they said, well, we post them, and sometimes people look at them, sometimes they don't, but including them in pre-shift safety meetings and having that conversation, a lot of times people have to pull out risk assessment cards and read a risk that they reported at a pre-shift safety meeting. Well, why not do the same thing for a dust data card? So we have sites that have been doing that now as well. And this is just another quote from a worker who's saying, you know, these are things that you can do to experiment. And this came up at a pre-shift safety meeting. So we, you know, we learned a lot from these visits, but now one of the challenges is that, you know, these mines have learned a lot of information to help them be compliant with the regulation. And now the concern, as I'm doing these 6-month follow-ups with all of these sites, is that they're worried that complacency is gonna set in, and that as long as workers are not out of compliance while they're wearing the PDM, Or if they're not wearing it at all and they're not in a sampling period, are they still doing these work practices? So that's kind of where we're at now in this phase of the research, how we can move forward to encourage the maintenance of these behaviors and new habits that they're forming. So, this was a management challenge that was expressed pretty much everywhere I went, that they care at first, but then the interest kind of wanes. And it's similar with the worker experience too, because a lot of times at first these workers thought, I'm gonna be out of compliance, they were very worried because they would see the dust underground and just assume maybe they were out of compliance. But eventually they learned that really over the, if you get a really big spike and you look at a 30-minute readout, that's relative to your 8-hour shift. So, it took them a while to learn and talk with their supervisor and realize, well, I'm actually okay. So then they were not as worried as time went on. So that's kind of where we're at with these challenges. So the next phase of the research is gonna study more of the maintenance of behaviors. We've identified the corrective actions as outlined in the current study. So if people have ideas for how to take this research forward, we would be happy to talk with that and visit your sites and ask workers some questions. But for now, we feel happy about being able to identify corrective actions for these sites, and also that the CPDM can be used as a health and safety communication tool rather than one strictly for compliance. Are we taking questions at the end? Okay.